Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. It is in the destruction of such places, and there are many ways by which God destroys nations, and it has been happening even till today. Nations are destroyed by natural disasters, things like tsunami, things like earthquakes. Nations are destroyed by famine. Nations are destroyed by war or by the sword. There are times that what eradicated an entire village was war. An entire culture with an entire specific language. How they got eradicated from the face of the earth was war. And many times it was because they began to adopt some demonic cultural maxims that were taking them so far away from the template of God. Now, there are certain judgments in the Bible that are exemplary. The judgment you see that happened to Sodom and Gomorrah was exemplary. It demonstrated, God used it to demonstrate the way he feels about when a group of people have deviated so far from the normal culture that he has prescribed for man. There was so much injustice in Sodom and Gomorrah that strangers were not safe. There was so much violence and wickedness in that land, and immorality was just, you know, is the most popular thing that we think about. But if you read scripture, because there are so many references made to Sodom and Gomorrah and their sins by the prophets, apart from the book of Genesis, you will see that in that land there was just plain wickedness. There was people were not kind. There was pure injustice, you know, and all of that. And whenever you see nations, you see cultural groups that deviate so far from the divine template, they usually invite upon themselves the wrath of God. That was what happened to the Ammonites. That is the Canaanites, the people that occupied the land of Canaan. The reason why God removed them from the land of Canaan was because God said that their iniquity was too much. And God warned the people of Israel that if they tore the path of the people of Canaan, that he will also remove them. And we know that even today, the only reason why we have just one tribe, you know, that is a proper representation of Israel, whereas there are supposed to be 12 tribes, 10 of the tribes were scattered. You know, 2 of the tribes are like, you know, one tribe. That's it. You know, the tribe of Benjamin was almost eliminated because they began to manifest some iniquity. If you read the book of Judges, to the point that, you know, when almost what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah was happening in Judges, and they were almost eliminated, but this time by war, that they were very few. I think they didn't even have women to marry. These things are actually divine templates of judgment. How did God eliminate the people of Canaan? It was by war. Sometimes it's by famine. And sometimes it's by plague. There are different ways by which such races are eliminated when they begin to demonstrate a deviation from the divine template. And may God help us that we allow our lives to be determined by the culture of the kingdom in Jesus' name. So as I was saying, there's a culture of the kingdom of God. And basically the renewing of mind is when you say, this is the way I process life as an Igbo man. This is the way I process life as a person that grew up in this culture. In our culture, there is no difference between the husband and the wife. They have equal right, whatever they call it. You know, the wife does not submit to the husband. I mean, regardless of what tribe you are, if you live in a nation like an average Western nation, you find that's the marriage structure is very different from the way the Bible defines it. That is a cultural expression. But in order for you to be a kingdom person, you say, no, I know that in this country, women don't submit to their husbands. In fact, women control their husbands. But because now I am a kingdom person, and the kingdom of God has its own culture, and in the kingdom of God, the culture of our kingdom says, wives, submit to your husband. You may be living in a Western country, but you say, as for me as a wife, I will be submitted to my husband because I want my family to be an expression, to be an extension of the kingdom of God. You cannot see the power and the glory of God without the kingdom of God. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. There are many people that want the power of God to come into their lives and fix a problem, heal a disease, solve a matter. But the reason why the power of God is not finding expression in their life the way it should is because the kingdom of God is not yet ruling their lives. And that's the same thing with some homes. Some families, they know that they have an ancestral problem in this family. They have, the generation before them had that problem. But they do not realize that in order to allow the kingdom, the power of God to come and solve that problem, you have to first of all allow the kingdom of God. So the renewal of mind happens when the word of God and the culture, because basically what the word of God does is that it is a way of life. You know, when Jesus Christ said, I am the way, there are many ways, but there is the way. The way. He says, I am the way. Because there is only one original culture. That was all God tried to do for the people of Israel, which was a shadow of the reality that we now enjoy now. What the people of Israel were was a shadow of the reality of the church. The church is the reality. The people of Israel were a shadow. And you saw that the people of Israel had a very distinct and a very peculiar culture from the rest of the other nations of the earth. And that's what it is with the Christian. In fact, it is more so. Because unlike the people of Israel, theirs was powered by just rules and regulations. But in the new covenant, ours is powered by the Spirit of Christ. Yes, there are many instructions that we obey, but these instructions just help to confirm. These instructions just help to, confirm some of the truths that form in your heart and your spirit as a person that is being conformed to the nature of God. Hallelujah. So it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So the renewing of your mind happens when the word of God will always contend with your position. So lying is a very, very plausible option in a country like Nigeria. You are doing a contract, you are doing things, lying is just the way things are done. But you now come in contact with the perspective of the word of God. I know that the culture of the word of God is that we don't lie. It becomes a sacrifice many times for you to say, no, I will not be conformed to this world, but I will allow myself to be transformed by the word of God. You now make up your mind that from now on, I will not be a liar. Because the culture of the world, I was saying it earlier, that when Balaam said, speaking under inspiration, Balaam was a prophet. It was just that he was a prophet that became corrupted. He knew the voice of God. He knew God. But he was a prophet that became corrupted. And the reason why he was corrupted was because Mammon was too powerful in his life. He was a prophet that he could come and give money, and he would begin to pray because you gave him money. And unfortunately, there are many prophets today that are going the way of Balaam. And Balaam said that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. And I was saying that because of the fall, every man is a liar. Lying is part of, one of the ways, when I'm evangelizing to Muslims, because when you're evangelizing to people, it's wise for you to find a common ground. Then from that place of common ground, you begin to show them the truth of the gospel. Now, one of the ways I evangelize to Muslims is that I first of all try to establish to them that we are all sinners. I ask them, did anybody teach you how to lie as a child? Nobody taught me how to lie as a child. Lying is something that comes to every human being naturally. It's one of the major components of the satanic nature. Jesus Christ was telling some people, he said, you're of your father, the devil. He said, who is a liar? The devil is a liar. And because the world, he's a prince of this world. And if you are conformed to the culture of this world, whether you know it or not, lying will become a major part of you. There are some people that have disciplined themselves not to lie in matters of day-to-day truth-telling. But ultimately, they are pretenders. You can lie by creating false impressions. So, when the position of the word of God comes, basically what it does is that it brings about a renewing of the mind. The reason why it's a renewing of the mind is because in your spirit, these truths are already being installed by the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Remember that Jesus Christ said that the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. That scripture that says that you have an anointing within you and you don't need that any man should teach you. He was talking about the spiritual dimension. There is nothing that you will hear me teach or any teacher of the word of God teach if you are born again that will sound entirely new if that teacher is teaching the word of God. You may never have heard it before, but something in your spirit will resonate with it and say, yes, this is true. I always knew that this is the way it is supposed to be. I always knew that this way I always thought it is not the real way it should be. That's because there is a teaching process, there is an installment process in the spirit. And so, The reason why it's a renewing of mind is that as the word of God is coming and you are taking sides with the word of God and rejecting what you have always known as the way you should live your life. You know, there are some people that say, there are many things they say in the world. Owo ni koko. Because money rules the world. Any man that is in the kingdom of God, that is not true. The kingdom of God, money does not rule in the kingdom of God. God rules. Amen? The word of God rules. That's why Jesus Christ, when he was trying to disabuse, you know, Jesus Christ trained his disciples for about 3 years. And it was a rigorous training. Many of them had to leave their homes and they started living with Jesus. They followed him everywhere he went. For years, it was a rigorous training. At some point, it was time for practical. And he was going to send them to go and preach. Nazareth. 2x2. And he told them not to carry money. Can you imagine somebody sending you, we are here now, or to here. Somebody is sending you to go and preach in Ibadan. And they say, don't carry money. Does it make sense? But he was trying to show them that the kingdom of God is bigger than money. And there is something you can touch in God that is more powerful than money. Because normally in the world, if you have enough money, give me a credit card and put $100,000 on the credit card. There's nowhere in the world I'll be afraid of going to. Because I know that if I put that MasterCard, if I go with boxer and singlet, if I get to the airport, I will buy fine clothes with that MasterCard. That's what money does. Money has a way of giving you some kind of security. But what the kingdom of God will first of all do is that it will disabuse your mind from putting your security in anything but God. Because if your security can be in God the way it is in money, you will see the power of God. God will answer you more than money answers people. So he disabused their mind. He said they should go. And then, because he knows people, he said that they shouldn't carry belts. They should not carry anything that they can sell. He said they shouldn't carry extra shoe. Because he knows that if they carry extra shoe on the road, they will say, so that they need money. And when they came back from that adventure, he asked them, he said, did you lack anything? They said, no. He was trying to show them that, see, there is a system that you can plug into, that your needs will be met. The time you need money, don't worry, it will come. But don't think that what you need to fulfill purpose and destiny is money. Oh, the Lord taught me that lesson in a very hard way. You know, there are some people that God has called them into ministry. And the first thing they tell themselves is that I need money. So that we can rent hall. So that we can print flyers. We can do TV advertisements. We can invite Nathaniel Bassey. Because you know that in order to invite people like that, you need some money for logistics. Some of them are very godly people. They don't charge you like Nathaniel Bassey. But, I mean, you have to put him in a hotel. So you begin to think that what I need is money. And the Lord is saying, no. In this kingdom, when you have a call of God, what you need is grace. What you need is the kingdom. What you need is the power of God. Forget about money. Don't worry, money will come. He's not saying that you don't need money. But what he's saying is that don't depend on money. Lean not on money. Because the world leans on money. There was a government in this country some years ago. That government didn't succeed so much because every problem that they faced, they threw money at it. They felt that money was the solution to every problem. There are some times that the solution to problems, it's not every problem that you throw money at that money will solve. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. So, one of the things that the kingdom of God will do in the renewing of our minds, because we grew up in a culture, and most of us, the culture you grew up in will most likely not be a divine culture, not be a culture of the kingdom of God. So the Lord will need to renew your mind. There are very few people that had the privilege of maybe growing up in a household where maybe their parents had allowed the kingdom of God to shape their culture in that household. For such people, it will be very easy for them to get in line with kingdom thinking. And it's actually an advantage because the Bible talks about how that the parents who are righteous help in sanctifying their children. But ultimately, everybody will have to get to the point where you make your decisions for yourself. Because what normally happens to children that grow up in such settings is that as soon as they go to the university or they get out of the home, they now want to go, they now feel that it's time for me to be free. They now want to try out the world. And so ultimately, and many of them were actually born again when that happened. But what happens is that when people begin to realize that Christianity is not just a religion, it's a way of life and it's a culture. There's a way we behave. You know, when you say, you see a Yoruba man, there's a way he behaves. There's a way he dresses. There's a way Christians dress. And I'm not saying we have a uniform. It's just that there are certain principles that determine the way we dress. For example, he says women should dress, should be shamefaced. There's a way prostitutes dress with this brash lack of shame, exposing parts of their bodies that should not be exposed. Christians don't dress like that. There's a kind of makeup. I'm not saying makeup is wrong, but there's a kind of makeup that if you understand the culture of the kingdom of God and you allow the word of God to renew your mind, you will not be able to make such makeup because you're a kingdom person. So it says when you allow this to happen, hallelujah, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The reason is because it is only when your mind is renewed that you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is. You do not have the ability to discern the will of God for your life if the culture of God is not yet really in your life. In order for you to be able to discern the will of God, the culture of God must rule your life. Amen. Help me check Audacity and let me see if it is recorded. I don't think we're recording with Audacity. Hallelujah. In order for you to be able to rightly discern the will of God and walk in the will of God, you must allow the culture of God to rule your life. It is a transformed mind that can test and approve, that can discern the will of God. Amen. Now it says, when you are transformed, then you will be able to approve what is the will of God, what is good and well-pleasing and perfect. Now, here's even where I was even going to say, for by the grace given unto me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of himself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, as God has distributed to each of you a measure of faith. He says, do not think more highly of yourself. Let me tell you one thing that happens when the culture of Christ, the nature of Christ has taken over you. This pride will leave you. This high-mindedness will leave you. You'll be lowly. You'll be meek and lowly. No matter how much God has endowed you with, you will not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Because Jesus Christ said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. A lot of the problem in this world is because of pride. There are some husbands and wives that have irreconcilable differences. Because if just one person will just humble himself and say, I'm sorry, the matter will end. The wife is packing her load to leave the house like this. And the husband knows that if I can just tell her that I'm sorry, even she doesn't want to go. But pride. Marriages have been destroyed because of pride. But one of the things, the hallmarks about the divine nature is that we are humble. What do you have that God, that you were not given? You know, many people get very proud because of their education. Because of their knowledge. Knowledge actually puffs up. But what did you contribute to the fact that you were born with a sound mind? Some people were born with low IQ. Some people were born with retarded. What did you contribute to the fact that you were not born that way? So you begin to realize that all that you have was given to you by God. Because what the kingdom of God does to us is that it gives us sound mind. So that we can understand what normal people don't understand. And when you understand what normal people don't understand, you will be humble. You know that this life that we are living in, we are surviving on the mercy of God. The air we breathe, we don't know anything about this air. If you tell us to manufacture the air that we breathe and pay for it, everybody in this world will die. With all the science we think we know, we cannot manufacture the air that all of us are breathing. It's too expensive. People that live on oxygen in the hospital, look at how much money they spend. So basically what I'm saying is that one of the things that the divine nature does to you is that it will make you humble. So you say, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment. Let me tell you something about discernment. If you walk in the gift of discerning of spirit, the Lord must do a work of humility in you. It takes some level of sobriety and humility to walk in that gift of discernment. There are some people that desire. See, many people know how much trouble they would have been saved from if only they had discerning of spirit. It's a spiritual gift. But let me tell you one thing about spiritual gifts. Everybody that is spiritually alive has spiritual senses. And a spiritual gift is a heightened spiritual sense. For example, as I am like this, because I am alive and I'm healthy, I can hear. Right? I can hear. I don't need, and I can smell, and I can see. But you know that there are some people that have heightened hearing, that what they are saying in that corridor, they will be able to hear. That one is a gift. That every believer should be able to walk in these basic manifestations of these things we call spiritual gift. So you don't even have to have the gift of discernment if you are spiritually healthy to be able to discern. You'll be dealing with a person that's demon possessed and you know that something is not just right. There's something you can't lay your finger on about this person because you are spiritually alive and you have discernment. But there are some people that now have heightened discernment. That's a gift. The same with hearing, prophetic. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. If you have the spirit of Christ, you have the ability to hear God. You have the ability to communicate with God. Seeing vision, you don't have to have the gift of discerning of spirit because seeing that ability to see visions is a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirits. Because basically when a spirit comes here and you can see that spirit, you are discerning the spirit. You get. It's just that that discerning is now being interpreted by your mind as a vision. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So a person that walks in those gifts is a heightened spiritual sense. We all have spiritual senses. Physically, we have how many senses? 5 or 6. We have seeing, smelling, 2, hearing, 3, taste, 4, touch, 5. 5 senses. Spiritually, we have more than 5 senses. Spiritually, we have at least 9 senses. And what corresponds to smelling, basically? Now, here's the way I understand it. What corresponds to hearing? Hearing is that gift you call word of knowledge and word of wisdom. What corresponds? That's a heightened version. What corresponds to smelling is that gift you call discernment. Sometimes, if like the Lord has given me that gift of discerning of spirit, sometimes I enter a place. It has not happened to me recently. And I'm smelling a foul smell. Except that I also know that this smell I'm smelling it physically. But that place is not smelling normally. I also know that it's not smelling, but this smell I'm smelling is a spiritual smell. There are some people I'm dealing with, they have nice perfume on. They are not smelling, but I'll be smelling a foul smell when I'm dealing with them. I know that there's a foul spirit that's operating in their life. Because there are many people that have, most of the time, it's people that have given themselves to explore certain levels of immorality that are abnormal. Some foul spirits begin to ride on them. And foul spirits in the spirit realm, they stink. That's why they are called foul spirits. They are smelling spirits. If you go to my compound now, there are some dogs. Those dogs, if you go near them, they are smelling. Because if you don't bath dog, because they urinate and urinate, they smell. If a he-goat comes here now, it smells. There are spirits like that that smell. And if you have discerning of spirit, sometimes we manifest in smelling. Heightened. You will literally smell. When Jacob, those men were prophets. When Jacob was blessing, Isaac was blessing his son. He said, my son smells like a field that the Lord has blessed. Because anyway, that's not our topic for today. May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. There are some people that smell nice in the spirit. That shows that they have a spirit of favor. People just like to help them. People want to help them. May we smell nice in the spirit in Jesus' name. May every odor be removed from our life spiritually in the name of Jesus. It says, by the grace given unto me, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think with sober discernment, as God has attributed to each of you a measure of faith. So I was talking about the renewing of the mind and the divine nature. One of the things about the divine nature, if you allow it to manifest, to bring fruit in you, because you receive the incorruptible seed, it has a seed, but when it begins to grow and bring fruit in you, then your life will begin to manifest the divine nature. And one of the hallmarks of the divine nature is humility. And it's by this humility that you'll be able to discern a lot of things, including your gifts. He says, as God has attributed to each of you a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and not all the members serve the same function, So we who are many have one body in Christ, and individually are members who belong to one another. Now we are talking about understanding your call. One of the ways to explain this is to look at yourself as an individual. You have many body parts, and all of them have their very unique functions. Your fingernails have their function. Your hand has its function. There are parts of, some of the most important parts of you are the parts that we cannot see. Because if I cut your hand or cut, if you cut somebody's hand or their leg, they will still be living. It's just that they will no longer have leg. And there will now be some things that they cannot do. But if you remove a person's heart, or remove their lungs, or remove their liver, they won't survive. Those are parts of the body that you can't see, but they are very, very important. In fact, they are more important than the parts that you can see. That's how the church is. Everybody who is a believer that has found his place in Christ. Remember, this happens as a result of sanctification. You are a member of the body of Christ, and you have a part to play. Now, some people, because they are hands, they think that they are everything. In fact, such hands cannot be in the body of Christ because they will cause problems. What I mean is that in order for you to be aligned with the body, you have to have the nature of Christ. So, the hand cannot do what the leg does. And the leg cannot do what the hand does. Even if the leg tries to do what the hand is doing, it cannot do it as effectively as the hand will do it. Because there are some functions that you can, for example, if you are an apostle, you can prophesy most of the time. But you are not a prophet. And you will never do the work of a prophet as effectively as a prophet. And there is no such thing as saying you are an apostle and a prophet at the same time. When you hear people talk like that, it's ignorance that is belching. Spiritual ignorance. Are you understanding my point? Because when you can't be an apostle and a prophet at the same time. You can be an apostle that has a prophetic grace. Or you can be a prophet that has an apostle. But you cannot be an apostle and a prophet at the same time. Somebody told me that he's the five. I just smiled. I said, oh, mon coco, you don't know nothing. You can only be. It's just like saying that you are It's not like saying you are going to Kaduna and you are going to Lagos at the same time. Because these things, the most important thing about your call, if you are an apostle or you are a prophet or you are a pastor or a teacher, the most important thing about your call is the assignment that God has given you. That's the most important. And these assignments were predetermined. It is not even your gift. Any believer can receive any gift. Yes, there are some gifts that normally go with certain graces, certain calls. For example, if you are a prophet, if God has ordained for you to be a prophet, most likely he will give you prophetic gifts. You should be able to walk in these gifts easily. Maybe word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophesying, and maybe seeing of visions. Yes, if you are a prophet. It's rare for you to be a prophet and not walk in those gifts. But it's possible for you to be a prophet and not walk in all of those gifts. And yet you are a bona fide prophet. And I'll give you an example. The greatest prophet in the Bible was John the Baptist. He didn't walk into me. The Bible says he didn't do any mighty works. Because what defined John the Baptist was not his gift. It was the assignment that he had, and he has the ability to fulfill that assignment. It is when we know the assignment that God has given you that we will know what you are. Amen? So there are some people, when they tell me the nature of the assignment that God has given them, the assignment that they know that the Holy Spirit has crystallized upon their heart, that this is the purpose for your life. I say, I know you are an apostle. It is apostles that God gives this kind of assignment. I say, no, you are a prophet. It is prophets that God gives this kind of assignment. And because of the kind of the peculiarity and power of the assignment that God has given you, he will give you grace for that assignment. But you cannot know this. For example, the people that go about calling themselves both prophets and apostles and pastors, they will never know what they are. Many of them will die. They will not know what they are. I don't care how big you are. Gathering crowd is a grace. And it is irregardless of your office. What I'm saying, there are people that know how, they understand human dynamics. They know how to gather crowd. In fact, someone like John the Baptist would have rather that crowd did not come. That's why he went to the wilderness. And when they were coming, he said, well, go. I'm looking for this, because why he was baptizing, really, why God told him to baptize, was to identify Jesus. So the more people that came were a burden for him, because he will have to baptize all of them. So he would rather fewer people comes, so that he will baptize a few people and then he will identify Jesus. So that's why it's why when they came, he was not nice. He said, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come, you brood of vipers?" He was referring to Pharisees. He was not. Your assignment is very, very important. Because basically what assignments do, one of the things that prophets do in territories is that they clear the road for their apostolic work. Amen? Yes. They clear the road for the apostolic work. They pave way for the apostolic work. Because one thing many people will not realize is that God has been dealing with people for a long time. I don't have time to go. I didn't prepare to do that teaching. God has been dealing with people for a long time. Angels of God, even before the gospel enters some territories, angels of God used to appear to people in those territories. And then what God normally does when he wants a territory, he wants to clear the road for apostolic work. Many times. Amen? Now, this may sound very controversial, because the first encounter with the kingdom of God that you will have, because that prophet is the product of an apostolic work, is the work of the apostle. He has set first apostles. But there are many things, there are many strongholds that may require the office of a prophet. He says, every high thing, mountain shall be brought down, and every valley shall be filled up. You know, if you want to do a road, you want to do a road, I'm a civil engineer. In order for you to do the road, the land must be level. So you have to cut and fill. But you know that cutting and filling does not mean you have done road. And when, without that road, cars cannot come to that village. Without the road that the apostle comes to make, are you getting my point? The kingdom of God cannot come to a nation. So the work of the prophet, so sometimes the apostolic work has even started. But there are high things. There are mysteries. And that's why you cannot separate the office of the prophet from the office of the intercessor. There are mysteries that need to be leveled. There are absurdities in that society. There are absurdities in that nation. And the God begins to raise prophets. And basically what the prophets do is that when they begin to operate in their capacity, they begin to clear the road. They begin to bring down every height. They begin to move mountains. They begin to fill up valleys. And everybody is interdependent. That's why an apostle cannot do it alone. A pastor will have nothing to do if there are no apostles to do their work. But when you find people that feel they have not dealt with their pride, they will not be able to discern their grace. Because the day they prophesy, they will call themselves prophets. The next time they find themselves teaching with a strange revelatory grace, the Lord gave them small revelation, they will call themselves apostles. The next time they are teaching based on revelation that has been released, because many times God releases revelations and mysteries through the apostolic ministry, and then the teachers take it and begin to dissect it and help people to understand it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Jesus, help us. So you cannot know your grace if the work of renewing has not happened in your life. And this work of renewing will be perfected in your life. One of the ways you will know that that renewing is happening is that your pride will go away. You see, for just as one body has many members, not all members serve the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members who belong to one another. And we have different gifts according to the grace given unto us. If the gift is prophecy, that individual must use it in proportion to his faith. If it is service, he must serve. If it is teaching, he must teach. If it is exhortation, he must exhort. If it is contributing, he must do so with sincerity. If it is leadership, he must do so with diligence. Remember that it says that we have gifts. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. So there are graces that you have received. Grace is an empowerment. Let me explain this thing in a very simple way. You see, this building now has electricity. And you will agree with me that if the electricity is coming from a small generator, the appliances that will be allowed to put on will not be many. Because the appliances we will put on will be according to the generator. That's why when Ephesians chapter 4 was rendering it, it says, we have graces according to the measure of Christ's gifts. That was an interchange of words there. Because in the kingdom of God, the fact that a person has a higher measure than you does not mean he's better than you. Are you getting what I'm saying? The fact that a person has a higher measure of a grace than you does not mean he's in the world. You know, if the Lord does not disabuse yourself from the way the world thinks, you will think that the fact that a person has a higher measure of grace means that he's better than you. In the kingdom of God, it's not so. It's not so. In fact, Apostle Paul was saying that even the weaker parts of our bodies are the parts that we glorify, we honor the most. They are the parts of us that we cover. They are the weaker parts of our bodies, like our nakedness. They are the parts we honor the most. Anybody can see your head. But nobody, you won't allow every... It's only your wife that is permitted to see your nakedness. So, basically, in the kingdom of God, it's different. And this principle of nakedness helps us to understand that in the kingdom of God, measure of grace does not mean necessarily mean, it just means assignment. And it is God that is the giver of all things. So the person that is great is God. It's not you that they give. Ha! May God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Because there is a way of greatness in the kingdom of God, and it's called faithfulness. Because God has given you a capacity. And if you are faithful within the capacity that God has given you, then you will be promoted. But the fact that God has given you a bigger capacity than another person does not mean that you should think that you are better than that person, or the people that should be thinking you are better than them. Jesus Christ gave a parable of talents. He gave two parables that were similar. One was the parable of pounds, or the parable of minas. And the second was the parable of talents. The parable of talents, different servants were given different talents. One was given 5 talents, another one was given 2, another was given 1. The one that was given 5 talents, when he was faithful, it was the same reward that the one that was given 2 was given. And it's the same reward that the one that was given 1 would have been given if he was faithful. He gave them those talents according to their differing abilities. Who gave them the ability? God. Praise the Lord. You know, let me tell you something. In the world today, if you can speak English, you probably can reach more people than the person that can only speak Yoruba, because there are more people that speak English. So you were born in a community where they speak English. And because of that, God has given you talent to reach 5 million people in your lifetime. Somebody was born in a community where he could only speak Yoruba, and because of that, he can reach less people. And God now says, okay, you that you can only speak Yoruba, your own is that you reach 2 million people. The one that can speak English is that he will reach. What did he do to contribute to the fact that he was born in the place where they speak English? Were you there when you were deciding the family you were born to? Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, talent, so, is when measure of grace. And so, for the person that will reach 5,000 people, he will give him the measure of grace that will reach 5,000 people. But it does not mean that he is greater than the person that will reach 2,000 people. Because nobody is, he's not the source of the grace for 5,000, nor is the 2,000 man the source of the grace for 2,000. God is the source of all things. So in the kingdom of God, the value system is very different from the way it is done in the world. The world is an inversion. What I mean inversion is that the things that are good, the world will make it, we try to make the opposite of the kingdom of God. And may God give us understanding in Jesus' name. Then the second parable that our Lord Jesus gave, it was one of minas. Everybody had 1 mina or 1 pound. But it was the one that was... Now, there is something that we have in measures. And then there is something that all of us have equally. What do we have in measures? We have gifts and graces. But what do we have equally? Relationship with God. Are you getting my point? Don't let anybody deceive you. If you are born again, you have right to son. The Bible says, as many as received him, God gave them the right to become sons of God. Every believer has the right to be close to God. And the people that will actually be greater than, and it's in that parable where everybody had one mina. In that parable where everybody had one mina, it was in that parable that some people were rewarded with bigger rewards than the others. Those parables are describing realities in the kingdom of God. And they, of course, we know that they are not the same parable. So the person that had one mina and produced 10 more minas or 10 more pounds was given greater authority in the kingdom than a person that did not produce anything. Because the most important thing in your walk with God is your relationship with God. Your relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. The video that we released last was talking about communion. You cannot have communion with somebody that you are not compatible. Some people, if a person has bad behavior, according to your standard, you cannot have communion with that person. You cannot have communion with the Holy Spirit if you do not have the character and the nature of Christ. If you are not allowing the word of God to renew you and change your culture to the culture of Christ, you cannot have communion with the Holy Spirit. And the deeper your communion with the Holy Spirit, the more you increase your capacity. That's the more you increase your mina. And everybody has equal access to the Holy Spirit. Everybody has equal access to God as our Father. Some people use that access more than others. There are some people that the reason why they don't watch TV again is because the Holy Spirit say don't watch. There are some other Christians that the Holy Spirit cannot dare to give them that kind of instruction. The reason is because he knows that they will not obey. And many times the Holy Spirit will not give you an instruction if he knows you will not obey the instruction. Because if the Holy Spirit gives you an instruction and you disobey that instruction, it's judgment. And he loves us too much than to place us in slippery places. So there are many people, Jesus Christ told his disciples that there are many things I want to tell you, but you cannot receive them, you cannot hear them. So there are many disciples that they have given God so much boundary. They don't know, but there are many instructions that God cannot give them because they've given God boundary. There are no go areas in their lives. But as you begin to walk with God and in the light of his love, because one of the things that must happen in your heart is that you must know that God loves you. And let me tell you something. God wants you to be happy more than you want to be happy. When I was in school, there was a person hammer. God wants you to hammer more than you want to hammer. If you settle that one in your mind, it will be easy to obey God. Because there will be times that God will give you commandments and instruction that will look as if you obey God, you will be unfortunate. But let me tell you the truth. If you obey God, you will now realize that God's plans for you are better than your plans for you. Let us pray. Father, we worship you. We give you all the glory. You know, we are talking about understanding. You must have the divine nature. Next week, we will begin to look at these ministry gifts and the assignments in the body of Christ. Understanding your call. Lord, bring me to the point of real transformation. Bring me to the point of real transformation. Let every manipulation of darkness against my soul come to an end right now. Let every manipulation of darkness against my body come to an end right now. Lezo te kabasho manende keteba le de de bolish malende ke bashala baba baba le de 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 bosho badenis jonte kete 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 bosho zobole kete kete balis mashala baba 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 le de 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 bolish enkataba le de 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 bosho bole kete kete bale de 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 bolish. Thank you, Father. Mazote, let every manipulation of darkness come to an end right now in the name of Jesus. Lezo de kabazo zobole ketebo. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, one thing we must say in the church is that there are many times that the devil is not just devil manipulates people's minds a lot. But there are times that he's manipulating their body. See, for example, if you were sick and you couldn't stand up, you will not be here hearing the word of God. You will not be able to come here. And the devil knows that. And so there are some people that he afflicts their body because he wants to slow them down on the journey of destiny. We're going to pray for everyone that is joining via live streaming. And everyone that will listen to this message, and pray for ourselves. Lord, let every manipulation against the body, the soul, and the spirit of any of our brethren be destroyed in the name of Jesus. That we may be able to serve you. We may be able to fulfill the purpose for which you have created us. Let every manipulation of darkness be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Let every demonic manipulation come to an end. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I want us to also pray that the Lord will deliver us from ignorance. There are spirits of ignorance. And what makes people more ignorant is pride. A person that does not know anything, that thinks he knows everything he needs to know, cannot learn. I want us to pray that, Lord, I will not be an ignorant Christian. Many believers suffer because of ignorance. You say, my people suffer because of lack of knowledge. They are closed-hearted and closed-minded. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Let's pray for stream globe word encounter, that every manipulation against this work we destroy in the name of Jesus. Mazo tekete, every manipulation against the brethren that partake in this meeting, we destroy in the name of Jesus. Mazo tekete kete bala de de des. Majagala baba bale de de bolis. Thank you, Father. Mazo tekete balende de debos. Jende kete kete bale de debos ugala de de bolis. Malende de bazozo bolinke tekete balis. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Nezo tabalinko tekete balis. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks for hearing us. Let's worship his holy name. Let's adore him for his presence, for his power. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, we worship you. Just lift up our hands. Lord, we ask that your word and your will prevail in our lives. And we decree that every other name fades away. Every other power crumbles in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's share the grace together. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.